This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are like the Titanic. I'll explain in a minute. What happened in Russia? What's happening with Hunter Biden? We have a great show coming up tonight on I'm Right. Oh, yes. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden. I have so much I want to say. Before we get into this Hunter Biden stuff and Joe Biden stuff and IRS, Merrick Garland, DOJ cover-ups, let's talk about the Titanic for a quick moment. Just stay with me. No, I'm not talking about that little mini sub who blew up. Just stay with me. Obviously, most people have seen the movie. So that's most people's, that's the extent of their knowledge about the Titanic. But if you ever read the story, all kinds of fascinating aspects to it. But one of the frustrating aspects to the Titanic is the lack of urgency initially when the Titanic was going to sink. Some people knew it was going to sink, and they needed to get people onto the lifeboats and get as many people as they possibly could in the lifeboats. But there was such a lack of urgency. It just wasn't, well, we don't want this one to be too full. Eh, take your time. Hey, no rush. I guess you can get to the lifeboat. Maybe grab a drink first. And you reading about it, me reading about it, in hindsight, we look and we're like, hurry up! You can save more people. Hurry up! But they won't hurry up. This is my frustration with where we are right now as a country. Right now, there are dire, drastic, horrific things happening. They're forming up before our eyes. And when they're done forming up, when they're complete, they're going to tear apart this country like nothing you've ever seen. And the right, virtually all of it, almost everyone in the GOP, virtually everyone on the right, they don't seem to realize it. They don't seem to realize the urgency. They don't seem to be able to see with their eyes what is happening. Let's deal with this IRS thing real quick, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. What do we have? The latest and greatest from the IRS. Whistleblower allegations. Specific whistleblower allegations against the Biden family. No, not just Hunter Biden, not just the dirtball crackhead son. Specific allegations. Allegations like this text message Hunter Biden sent to a Chinese associate in 2017. I'm going to read this verbatim. I'm sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. That's the payoff. That's bribery. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand, and now means tonight. And if if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Shortly after that text message, Hunter Biden's firm, he has a firm, got $5.1 million. The president of the United States of America, the president, not just his son, the president, they are bought off and bribed by China. Now, before we even move on to the system and damage control and how the right doesn't understand what's happening, let's take a moment and breathe that in. Let's marinate on that for a moment. As China makes massive moves around the globe, as China makes moves in South America, Africa, they're swarming Taiwan, setting up a military base or a spy base in Cuba. As China is aggressively moving, the commander-in-chief of the United States of America is limited in stopping them at all. Why? Because think of the blackmail material in possession that Xi Jinping is in possession of. Think what he has on Joe Biden and his dirtball son, Hunter Biden. The commander-in-chief is compromised. He must be removed from office now. He has to be removed and impeached from office now. Career Diversity Hire and John Kirby are struggling with this one.
You've stated that the president stands by his comment from the 2020 campaign that he never once discussed his son's overseas business dealings with his son. And you stood at that podium and you reaffirmed that. Do you stand by your reaffirmation?
What I will say is nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And I will leave it there. Anything else, I will refer you to the White House counsel.
This is not a change.
I just answered the question. You just asked me, does my statement change? I just told you nothing has changed. That's answering the question.
Does this not undermine the president's claim during the 2020 campaign and the reaffirmations of that claim by his two press secretaries since then that he never once discussed his son's overseas business dealings with him?
No, and I'm not going to comment further on this.
Let me save you some breath.
If you're going to ask about this, I am not addressing. I know you do more than I'd like you to have. I am not going to address this issue from this podium. I'm just not going to do it.
All right.
I'm not
going to
do it.
Where was the president?
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Ouch! Right. How bad is it? Well, how did all this Hunter Biden stuff start? Well, for one, he was deducting payments to hookers off his taxes. That's kind of funny, but still, deducting payments to hookers off of his taxes. I'm not making that up. We know that an assistant U.S. attorney prevented an investigation into him. We know that U.S. Attorney David Weiss tried to investigate Hunter Biden and bring a stronger case against him. And wrap your mind around this, the DOJ twice stopped that investigation. So now we have Merrick Garland, who should have appointed a special counsel for all this, instead running cover. The top law enforcement man in the United States of America, the Attorney General of the United States, is using the DOJ as a protection racket for Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Merrick Garland was even recommended, the IRS recommended that he bring charges, and Merrick Garland said, what? Charges, huh? Wrong number. That's the situation as a country. And Merrick Garland's response to all this was pretty telling.
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department as components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy and essential to the safety of the American people. Nothing could be further from the truth.
We know it's true. He's spitting in our face. In just the last few years, we've watched the FBI, DOJ, we've watched the system weaponize itself against the enemies of the Democrats. We are watching the end of the United States of America as we know it. We are watching the beginning of the end. This is how countries end. And what has the response been? Let's just go over some of the GOP responses as the Titanic sinks beneath the waves. If the whistleblower allegations are true, this will be a significant part of a larger impeachment inquiry into Merrick Garland's weaponization of the DOJ. That sounds a whole lot to me like maybe we'll get to it. Who knows? We're looking into it. Hey, don't worry, guys. We're looking into it. And let's do keep in mind that a lot of this stuff that happened in the DOJ, a lot of the really dirty stuff, especially at the FBI, didn't actually happen under Merrick Garland. It happened under Trump Attorney General Bill Barr. And need I remind you about this little gem from Bill Barr, which is him stepping up to the microphone and saying, I'm not doing anything back to them.
Those who broke the laws will be held to account. But this cannot be, and it will not be, a tit-for-tat exercise. We are not going to lower the standards just to achieve a result. The only way to stop this vicious cycle, the only way to break away from a dual system of justice, is to make sure that we scrupulously apply the single and proper standard of justice for everybody.
Slow down. There's no need to rush to the lifeboat. Hey, did you forget your favorite coat back in your room? Oh, go get it. You've got time. No big deal. Slow down. Nobody on the right seems to understand it. People call me an extremist. Jesse, it's too far. You're being extreme. When I call for things like AGs, state AGs in red states, when I call for them to begin bringing charges, indicting prominent Democrats and Democrat donors, people reach out to me and say, that's too far. Jesse, what are you talking about? Do you understand that I'm the moderate trying to save this country from what's coming? I'm the moderate. But nobody on the right, nobody seems to understand how evil this system is and what they're doing and what they're going to do. Even Trump, who should understand it more than anybody, because these people are going to lock him in a cage for the rest of his life, even Trump doesn't seem to understand what he's dealing with.
If I wasn't running, or if I was doing badly in the polls, all of this investigation would stop immediately.
No, Mr. President, it wouldn't. You could drop out of the race tomorrow and televise yourself getting on your knees, begging these communists for forgiveness, and they would still string you up figuratively from the city walls to make an example of you, Mr. President. No one seems to understand how evil and serious these people are. They're going to throw Donald Trump in prison, maybe for the rest of his life, and there's almost nothing he can do to stop it now. It's still treated as some kind of a campaign event, a campaign rally thing. These people mean business, and he's not the last Republican they're going to throw in a cage. But hey, maybe that's too extreme. Everyone calm down. Take it easy. No need to rush to the lifeboats. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. What in the world happened in Russia over the weekend? What a weird place. We'll discuss that very briefly. Now let's discuss something else. Let's discuss Father Time. He is undefeated, is he not? How many days do you wake up now and you got pains somewhere? Ah, my knee, my neck, my elbow, my shoulder hurts. It's part of life, man. And what do we do? I've done it a million times. I'm not judging you. What do? Head right to the pantry, grab that bottle of ibuprofen. Oh, man, my knee hurts. Let me just wreck my liver with a few of these things. We've got to stop doing this, especially when we have revolutionary relief. It's right there for us. It's a topical you can put on. Works. Also, gel caps you pop for all those interior aches and pains. You're not going to believe how pain-free you can be without the ibuprofen. They believe in this so much, they give it to you for a month for free. That's belief. You have to go to revrelief.com/free. Revrelief.com/free. Go live pain-free, all right? We'll be back.
This is a criminal adventuristic campaign. It is equivalent to armed mutiny. Russia will defend itself and repel this inimical move.
Okay. I don't understand Russia at all. Something happened over the weekend. Wagner Group, a bunch of Russian mercenaries is what they are. They were marching on Moscow. They weren't marching on Moscow. Then they stopped. I don't know if they got a flat tire. Then they turned around and went back. And I don't ever understand what's going on over there. I bet Jerry does. I bet Jerry understands something. Joining me now, my buddy Jerry Dunleavy. He's the author of a book with my other friend, James. And they wrote a book about what Joe Biden did in Kabul, about the disaster, about our warriors who we've forgotten about. And I want to encourage you to honor them. Go pick this up and find out about it. They deserve to have their stories remembered, right? And the people who did that to them deserve to have their stories remembered too. So anyway, we'll get back to the book in a few. Jerry, what happened in Russia? I don't understand that place.
Yeah, so over the weekend, the head of Russia's Wagner Group, which is essentially a private mercenary group that works for the Russian government. His name's Prigozhin, and he's been highly critical of the Russian defense ministry for a long time now, for how the Russian invasion of Ukraine has gone, because it hasn't gone exactly how I think Putin would have wanted, and it hasn't gone how the U.S. predicted, by the way. The U.S. basically predicted that Ukraine would fall in a few days, and obviously that hasn't happened. It's still a terrible war, lots of people dying on both sides. But Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner Group, seems to have had enough. The Russian Defense Ministry was trying to get the Wagner Group to essentially dissolve, to agree to fold under the Russian Defense Ministry. The Wagner Group and Prigozhin didn't want that. And so Prigozhin embarked on what he called his March of Justice, where he marched his a column of tens of thousands of his troops out of Ukraine and into Russia. Half of them went to a Russian city called Rostov, and the other half made it to about 150 miles outside of Moscow before they stopped and turned around. So pretty crazy times. You had a lot of so-called Russia experts who did not see this coming. When it started to happen, basically started to predict things like a Russian civil war. And then as quickly as this all started, it ended. So more to be seen here, but I just think that this is sort of perhaps a humbling moment that what's going on there in Russia is complicated, to say the least. And if I might add, the big point and the broader point about all of this is that, in my opinion, none of this should be happening. Joe Biden completely failed when it came to deterring this war, this Russian invasion of Ukraine. And as a point that we make in our book is that a big piece of why it failed, outside of many decisions that Joe Biden made related to Russia that were just mind-boggling, but his debacle in Afghanistan, this just debacle in Afghanistan that left, you know, obviously the Taliban and members of Al-Qaeda running the country, thousands of Americans left behind, tens of thousands of Afghan allies left behind, and of course, 13 American U.S. service members killed in an ISIS-K attack that never had to happen. That debacle, I think, is what essentially gave Putin that final boost that he needed to decide to invade, and now we have this terrible, destructive, dangerous war happening, and it's just something that never had to happen.
It's terrible. It is a meat grinder, from what I understand, too, an artillery war, and it's a horrible state of affairs. It's a minor detail, but I am curious, Jerry. This Russian Wagner Group general, Pierogi or whatever his name is, what was his axe to grind with how Russia has actually conducted the war? What aren't they doing that he thinks they should be doing?
Right. So basically, he's had a bone to pick with the defense ministry for a while. I mean, if you've been following Russia's invasion, it obviously has not gone the way that they wanted. they called it basically a special military operation at the start of this because the Russians thought that they were just going to roll over and potentially take even the capital city of Kiev within a few days, and that didn't happen. Prigozhin heading the Wagner Group, it's basically his opinion that if everybody was doing what the Wagner Group was doing, then things would be going better. And he kind of pointed out, I was able to march my column of troops from Ukraine to 150 miles outside of Moscow in like a day. So I was able to kind of do what the Russian military wanted to do in Ukraine. I was able to do that in Russia. And that's kind of the argument that he's making. You know, whether that argument has any merit. Has the Wagner Group been doing better in Ukraine than the rest of the Russian military? I mean, on balance, yeah. But, you know, this is just kind of his thing. And what is he ultimately trying to get out of this? That remains to be seen. A lot of people are saying that Putin looks a lot weaker because of this. And I think Putin does look weaker because of this. But ultimately, will Putin be weaker because of this? And will Prigozhin survive this? Will Prigozhin be way stronger now in Russia? Or is Prigozhin going to, you know, mysteriously fall out of a, you know, hotel window in a few months? You know, who knows? It just remains to be seen. Nobody knows. Anyone that's saying that they know exactly what's going to happen, they, you know, they're lying to you. They just don't know.
Yeah, strange things happen to those Russians. I remember that oligarch who was found hanging from his shower curtain on his yacht in the Mediterranean by his own belt. So things definitely happen down there. All right, Antony Blinken, China, Taiwan. Here's what he had to say, Jerry.
On Taiwan, I reiterated the longstanding U.S. One China policy. That policy has not changed. It's guided by the Taiwan Relations Act, the three joint communiques, the six assurances. We do not support Taiwan independence. We remain opposed to any unilateral changes to the status quo by either side.
Okay, Jerry, I am concerned about Russia and China working together. This dragon bear, that seems a little overdramatic, but this dragon bear alliance or whatever the case may be, how close are they? How close are they going to get? And what's happening with Taiwan?
Yeah, I mean, the dragon bear is a problem. You know, Russia and China have been growing closer, especially militarily, in the last, you know, you can really trace it back a couple of decades, but, you know, they put together what they called this No Limits Partnership in February 2022, and this was weeks before Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine, and I might add, it was just a few months after Biden's debacle in Afghanistan. And I just think you can trace a direct line from Biden's screw up in Afghanistan to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But yeah, this growing military alliance is a problem. China wants to invade Taiwan. They want it back. This has been their goal for a very long time. And Xi Jinping has kind of made this a focal point of his dictatorial leadership of China. He just got a new term leading the CCP. And he's kind of said, I'm going to resolve this one way or the other before I'm done. And it's a dangerous situation. We just saw the Biden administration completely fail to deter Russia's invasion of Ukraine. China is backing Russia in its invasion of Ukraine, in part, I think, because they want Russia on their side when they decide to try and take Taiwan. And you know, the reality is that the Biden administration is not doing nearly enough to prepare the United States if we're going to try and stop this invasion, to deter China. And Taiwan is just not ready as well. I went on a trip to South Korea and Taiwan with a congressional delegation earlier this year. I love Taiwan. Seems like a great country, great people, but they're just not ready if China decides to invade. And the United States isn't ready either. We're just not ready for for a war like this. And so a big consequence of the war in Ukraine is that, you know, I think personally it is good to stop Russia from taking Ukraine. But we need to be able to do two things at once. We need to be preparing for what China wants to do, which is take Taiwan. And obviously our eye is completely off the ball. We're not getting ready. And it's a problem because it's something that Xi wants to do.
Tell me about this book, Jerry. Why'd you write it? You and James Hassan, why'd you write it?
Yeah. So, you know, James, James Hassan, great guy, great friend of mine. He did a tour in Afghanistan, so he's a former Army captain. So he's seen this thing on the ground. My brother, he's in the Army. He's done numerous tours in Afghanistan. Obviously, James and I have a lot of friends who have served there, and James has friends that lost their lives there. James and I take the war personally, and you know, this was an absolute disaster. James and I both saw it coming. The way that Biden did the withdrawal, there was pretty much no other result that could happen except for this debacle. And, you know, the situation that these U.S. service members were put in, a lot of them Marines, the situation they were put in where we, basically the Biden administration, at the end of this, all that we had was this little airport in the middle of Kabul, and our troops are completely surrounded by the Taliban, who have taken over the entire country, and we've got ISIS-K terrorists running around as well, and our service members are tasked with getting out all of the Americans that are stuck all over Afghanistan, and they also have to get out all these Afghan interpreters and allies that we made these promises to. And this task that they were given was just an impossible task, impossible logistically and impossible in terms of the danger that we put these guys in. And of course, it results in 13 of these service members getting blown up by an ISIS-K terrorist, and dozens of these service members, I want people to remember, were also wounded, some of them very seriously for the rest of their lives. And so this is a debacle. And we, you know, we dedicate the book to the 13 U.S. service members who were killed there and to all the other thousands of Americans who were killed in Afghanistan over 20 years. And, you know, I don't want to say put aside that disaster, because you can't put it aside. We want it at the forefront, because people have forgotten. Joe Biden doesn't want to talk about this. He has never said the names of the 13 U.S. service members out in public before. And then, of course, the world has become a more dangerous place after this. Russia invaded Ukraine, and China has taken advantage of the situation by becoming much more dangerous too. So I think that we highlight a lot of things that people never knew. We unearthed a lot of new details that I think will shock and surprise people. And we encourage people to buy it to help keep this alive, because Joe Biden wants you to forget this, and you shouldn't forget it, can't forget it.
No, you shouldn't forget it. Go buy that book. Go buy that book. Kabul is the name. Jerry, thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Thanks as always, Jesse. Really appreciate it, man.
Be good, man. All right. We got some little bit of yucky pride stuff coming. Don't worry. It'll be okay. We have to address some culture war stuff. It's not going away. Let's first address your finances. No, I'm not your stockbroker. I don't know anything about that. I do know this. Things you can touch and feel, that's what you should be buying right now. Why do you think banker friend of mine, buying up gold right now? Speaking of China, why do you think China is buying up all the gold they can put their hands on right now? Do you think these people, these entities might know something? You need gold and silver, or silver, in your physical possession You need it as part of your 401k and IRA. Call Oxford Gold Group because they're so laid back and they can handle all this for you. And it sounds complicated. I would never be able to do it. They can't. It's nothing for them. It's super easy. All you have to do is call 833-995-GOLD and let them take care of you, all right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Hello, my name is Admiral Rachel Levine, and I have the honor of being the Assistant Secretary for Health at the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Happy Pride. Happy Pride Month, and actually, let's declare it a summer of pride. Happy summer of pride.
I'm sorry, I know that's immature. I laugh every time Dick Levine gets up there and says, "Hey, it's me, Rachel." Gosh. All right, let's quit. Focus, we're gonna get serious here briefly, and then we're checking out here because we have all kinds of stuff. The latest and greatest at the DOJ, which we're gonna get to with Luke Rozaiak next, it's scary, but let's talk about something serious real quick. They're after kids, and they're after kids for a very specific reason. There's a reason these turbo freaks are in your schools. There's a reason they're in Sesame Street. They make your Disney movies. They're on Nickelodeon Junior. There's a reason Build-A-Bear. You name the kids' thing, and these LGBTQ demons are in there. It's not an accident. They're coming for your children on purpose so they can break them early. They're trying to break them away from you, shatter them mentally, turn them into little communist foot soldiers from a very early age. And to their credit, I mean, this is gross, but to their credit, every now and then they get so bold when these demons get together, they come right out and say it. We're here. We're queer. We're coming for your children. They are coming for your children. Prepare them. All we can do is protect them as much as possible and prepare them for what's coming. All right? All right. Let's dig into some dirt in the DOJ. Some wild stories out there right now. Before we get to that, let's get to some basic preparations. Preparations make me sleep better at night. I don't buy ammo because I'm going to shoot it all every weekend. I buy ammo because it makes me sleep better to look at my ammunition. I know that's probably weird, but it's true. That's why I have an emergency 3-month food kit for all 4 people who live in my home. Now, I've been telling you to go to My Patriot Supply and get your 3-month food kit for a while. Sometimes finances aren't there and you can't do that. That's okay, do what you can do. They have 4-week food kits now, and they're on special right now. 4 weeks. Is it 3 months? No. But man, a month will buy you a lot of time. Everyone in your home needs 4 weeks worth of food. And if you want the discount on the 4-week food kit, you have to go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com, 4-week food kit. Everyone in your home needs one, all right? All right, we'll be back.
The health sector has gone about as far as it can, I think, in terms of amplifying the message. Now we need to bring in some heavyweights. We need to bring in people from Homeland Security, from the Justice Department, the Commerce Department, State Department, and really ask them, okay, what did you do to defuse global terrorism and cyber attacks and nuclear proliferation and stop it at the source, because anti-science is as big a threat to the health and security of the U.S. population. And
That sounds like Peter Hotez wants to take all the efforts that were used to fight terror and use them against you, Mr. Anti-Science. In case you're wondering if I'm crazy when I call these people communists, joining me now, great reporter for the Daily Wire, Luke Rozaiak. Luke, You have a book out called Race to the Bottom, Uncovering the Secret Forces Destroying American Public Education. And I keep coming back to this book. I keep coming back to the topics inside of it and really everything that's happening in our education system and how we, it's not just Peter Hotez, we're producing generations of teachers, historians, doctors, lawyers who are communist foot soldiers now.
Yeah, absolutely. The left talks about colonialism and all the time everything is colonial this, but what they really do is colonize nerve centers and they embed in areas that are likely to amplify their impact. And really the best way to do that is education. Because if you can take over a training center, then you've not only captured the people that work there, but all the people that they train for decades to come. So that's what we've seen with schools, and that's what we're also seeing, it turns out, with colleges of medicine. And Peter Hotez is not just the guy you know from refusing to debate Joe Rogan. He's also the dean of Baylor Medical College, which is affiliated with the largest pediatric center in the country, Texas Children's. And so they have a program in medicine called Grand Rounds that was always used to train doctors about, you know, medicine. And it turns out that oftentimes they're not talking about medicine in those grand rounds anymore. They're talking about politics. They're talking about the sort of authoritarian sentiments that you just played. And they're talking about things like white privilege and microaggressions. And so what you just played came from some videos that have obtained of how they're training young doctors. And, it, you know, we've seen the left capture everything, you know, all these companies, Target, whatever. But where it's really frightening is medicine, because people will die if you do these things and you do them instead of actually learning how to save lives.
You've got a great piece about the nation's leading pediatric hospitals pushing this stuff hard. It's not just dorks like Peter Hotez. I know Texas Children's Hospital right down here in Houston is rancid filth. This is coming for our kids, right?
Yeah, I mean, Texas Children's is a big deal. It's the biggest hospital in the country for kids. It's where a lot of doctors all over the country come through when they're training as residents. And this is the stuff that you have to be subjected to get your credentials and to get out of there and go on to be a career doctor. And, you know, the intro to that Peter Hotez video actually says, you know, we are so grateful to have you as a mentor, Dr. Hotez, as young doctors. We want to be just like you. And so he, by the way, was appointed to government roles both in the Obama and the Trump administrations, if you can believe it, even though he's basically trying to crush as his enemies anyone who didn't listen to the then current conventional wisdom about COVID as it relates to masks and things like that. Of course, they turned out to be totally wrong. So what's really kind of troubling when you watch these full videos is how vehement they were about sort of destroying anyone who disagreed with them. And they turned out to be wrong. The people they wanted to crush turned out to be right. But you don't see any humility, you don't see any apologies. And these are the people that are shaping the next generation of doctors that we just kind of have to trust. If there's gonna be any semblance of, you know, when you go to the doctor, how do you know to second guess what they're saying? We don't have that training, but it turns out that a lot of the training that they have now is stuff about, you know, microaggressions instead of stuff about medicine.
Tell me more about Texas Children's, because people outside of Texas don't generally know how bad it is. Now, I personally know a bunch of these Houston reporters, good ones, actual real journalists, and they tell me some scary things about that place, Lou.
Yeah, so, I mean, they are transing kids. The Texas recently outlawed it. I think it goes into effect, like, next month. The Texas Attorney General did an investigation into TCH, but then, of course, he was impeached, so it's not really clear whether they kind of got a get-out-of-jail-free card on that or not. They said they're going to comply with the law, but they basically said, we're going to help move these patients out of state. So they admitted that it's basically under duress and that they want to keep doing it. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is in Texas. And if this is the way that the, because we can say we don't want to trans the kids, but the doctors are the ones who actually have to do it. And so the doctors are really key here. And the doctors are telling us very clearly, even in place in Texas, or at least the institutions have been captured by these activists who are now controlling the hospitals and are insistent on doing everything they can to get these kids' genders changed. And so they're pumping them full of hormones, sometimes 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, in this Texas facility.
God, have mercy. All right, let's switch up the subject, kind of, and let's go to something you've been all over from the beginning, Loudoun County, Virginia. Can you give everybody at least a quick down and dirty on what happened, where it went from there, where is it at now, why does it matter?
Sure. So 2 years ago, I broke the story about how the Loudoun County, Virginia public schools covered up the rape in a bathroom by a boy wearing a skirt of a ninth grade girl. It caused a lot of, the nation was mad that they would actually subject children to harm to advance their political agenda. Basically, the reason they covered it up is because they were trying to pass a policy around transgenders. If people knew it happened, it wasn't going to pass. So the superintendent lied about it. They arrested the father of the victim. It started to seem like there was going to be maybe some justice when Governor Glenn Youngkin got elected and they convened a grand jury that indicted the school spokesman and the superintendent. But last week, the spokesman was acquitted of felony perjury charge around allegedly lying about this rape. And basically, when the rape had occurred, they sent out a notice to parents explaining why the police were at school. And they said it was to deal with the disruptive parent. Well, they didn't say that the rapist was on the loose at the time and the parent was mad because of that. It was the father of the rape victim. So it was very deceptive from literally the first minutes. And the spokesman told the grand jury he didn't actually know there was a rape. A principal testified to the contrary. There were other witnesses who initially indicated that basically they could incriminate this spokesman. But when it came time for this trial, which I watched, it was a 3-day trial. I was sitting in the courtroom. Everyone got amnesia. All the other people who might have been corroborating witnesses, they said, I don't remember, I can't recall. And so after the acquittal, the spokesman actually gave a press conference outside of the courtroom where he said, I have some advice to anyone facing a grand jury. Learn three phrases. I don't know, I forget, and I can't recall. So we're still going to see a trial of the superintendent in the future, but that's just a misdemeanor. This was kind of a key case for accountability in the rape cover-up. And that's the update, is a Loudoun jury did acquit the spokesman of felony charges last week.
Where's Merrick Garland come in on all this? Why is he being sued about it?
He's being sued for not releasing records related to, basically the father of the rape victim was an example of the domestic terrorist that the school board association said there's all these parents that are basically, we need the Patriot Act invoked on them. So it kind of comes back to that Peter Hotez rhetoric where we got to sick the DHS and the DOJ on people. They were acting like parents who were mad at school board meetings were terrorists. And you go through the list, it was all totally absurd things like parents making sarcastic comments. The only person who was actually arrested, if I recall, was this guy who, it turns out, had a good reason for being mad and getting arrested for disorderly conduct, which is his daughter was raped. So it gets into how the White House worked with this school board's association to write this letter that Merrick Garland and the FBI then cited to basically mobilize the FBI's counterterrorism division against parents. And so they are, basically trying to sick the anti-terror people on parents. And then meanwhile, the rapist, they didn't do anything to him at all at first. They just transferred him to a different school where he did it again. And now we see school officials who were the subject of a pretty troubling grand jury report also skating accountability. So yeah, it just comes back to the weaponization of the federal government and these two tiers of justice.
Yeah. Luke, thank you, brother. Keep it up.
Thanks, Jesse.
You know why I love Rough Greens? Why I need Rough Greens for my dog, Fred? Not just because he had digestive issues every single meal, but because today, as I was leaving the house to come to the studio, my wife and kids ordered him a dog milkshake from some place they were stopping. They were stopping at a little ice cream shop, and they got one for the dog. Okay, the dog doesn't get any nutrition. I caught my son feeding him fries today, too, slipping fries under the table. You need a natural nutritional supplement like Rough Greens to give your dog vitamins, minerals, probiotics, keep him alive longer, keep him away from the vet, because the improvements you see in your dog, his breath, his energy, his coat, it's amazing. Plus, your wife might give him milkshakes. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and they give you a free jumpstart trial bag there. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. We're going to lighten the mood with The Blob. No, not that classic horror movie. I don't know why no one could escape The Blob that was barely going down. Anyway, not that. A better blob. A more fun blob. Before we get to that blob, let's talk about you and the air you breathe. There are viruses and mold in your air. That's the way it is. They're in our air. Your air needs clean. The air inside of your home needs clean. Where you sleep, your bedroom, that air needs clean. Your living area, kitchen, where you work, the air needs clean. Those odors you smell, that's because there's stuff in the air that shouldn't be there. Let Eden Pure Thunderstorm clean your air. Do in your home the same thing nature does after a thunderstorm. That's why you walk outside after a storm and it smells so good. Your air has been cleaned, scrubbed. Eden Pure sells 3 packs, $200 off right now. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse to get that. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, all right? All right, without further ado, The Blob. You know, I bet that was fun at liftoff. And then I bet there was a moment right at the peak where they looked down and saw, that's gonna hurt. When I got a little too high and when I land, that's gonna hurt. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.